removes the unhealthy air that a dehumidifier just recirculates. With a Wave ventilation unit, there are no buckets to empty. Wave removes the moisture that mold, dust mites, and bugs thrive on, and it expels gases and chemicals that cause respiratory problems. Your whole house will be healthier and less humid all year long, guaranteed. Transform your home to a drier, healthier place. Find out more about Wave Ventilation, one of the quality air and water products from Wave Home Solutions. For free information, go to FreshDryHome.com. That's FreshDryHome.com. FreshDryHome.com. Or call 1-800-227-9419. Call 1-800-227-9419. That's 1-800-227-9419.
As Christians, we often refer to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the good news. But sometimes when we've heard the gospel message again and again, we forget what great news it truly is. Monday on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress reminds us of the incredible work Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Listen Monday to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 7:30 here on AM 1220, The Word.
Wish there was a place to find good, clean, family-safe entertainment? A place with no violence or profanity? Where you can let the kids roam free? That place is the all-new GodTube.com. Watch inspirational videos that'll challenge and motivate. Catch the latest music videos from Christian artists like Jeremy Camp, Hillsong, and Chris Tomlin. And share a laugh with clean comedians like Tim Hawkins, Anita Renfro, and more. All free, 24/7, right in your own home at the simple touch of a button. Visit the new GodTube.com. That's GodTube.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Well, good evening.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening and hope you'll join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the program here this evening, and well, let's see. You got a couple things going on, and let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll just get into some things here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We pray you bless the program. Use us for your glory. Thank you again for such an opportunity, and again, direct the conversation tonight. Pray that you give us some opportunity to answer some questions. It'd be a help to people listening tonight as well, and point people to Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and let me tell you, in northeastern Ohio, and we got a lot of people who are down in Florida right now, and before I forget, certainly watching with interest, of course, as that hurricane came through and crossed north of the Tampa area, further up in Florida, further north, and then cut across and then went up the Atlantic seaboard right now. And of course, I had a sister that lives in North Carolina, uncle and aunt, and some other relatives that live in North Carolina. And I'm sure they were getting a lot of rain out of that yesterday. But I have to tell you, here in northeastern Ohio, for this time of year, the end of August, the beginning of September, to have two or three absolutely gorgeous days in a row is extremely unusual. And we've not only had a day or two like that. Thursday was absolutely gorgeous. Friday was absolutely gorgeous. Yesterday was incredible, and today was an extremely beautiful day, and they're predicting that Labor Day is going to be a wonderful day as well. I'm not sure I'm in northeastern Ohio right now. This just doesn't happen, and I know that is something that other parts of the country, you're used to having strings of great weather in a row. I remember when I was going to school at Colorado State University, I was in Fort Collins, and I just was amazed that you could have three or four or five or six or more days in a row that was just all nice sunny days, pleasant temperatures and things like that. Took a little getting used to, but I did enjoy it. And then, of course, when I was stationed in England in the Air Force, it was nothing to have 3, 4, 5, 6 overcast, windy, rainy, foggy days in a row, but that was England, and you got used to that as well. One of the things of northeastern Ohio is the constant variableness. That's why I say we have weather here. Everybody else has climate. Climate means you know what it's going to do from day to day. Weather, you don't know whether it's going to be the same or not an hour from now. So, again, for those of you that have been in the area where the suffering from the hurricane and the rain and the storm surge and stuff, certainly our prayers go out to you, and hopefully if you're listening from some of those areas, you came through okay. And you know, they're still struggling in Louisiana. That's another area where hard struck, not a hurricane or tropical storm, just incredible rains. And I guess for that reason, they have not been in the news probably near as much as they have, or they should have been, in terms of people going through there. And it just seems like not too long ago we had the tremendous flooding in West Virginia and places like that, and then of course you see bad weather happening different places, the fires out west, and we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for those that are going through those areas. And wasn't planning on mentioning it, but I just thought about it when they're talking about those things. There is a ministry here locally in northeastern Ohio at the Columbia Road Baptist Church called Nehemiah Network, and I don't know what the website is right off the top of my head right now, but I believe if you Google Nehemiah Network or Google Columbia Road Baptist Church, you can find that without any problem. And they have a tremendous ministry. They've been in West Virginia helping people out. They've been in Louisiana helping people out. And they have a whole warehouse on the west side of Cleveland where people donate supplies and things like that in order to provide a supply of things that can be taken to help people out in areas stricken with natural disasters. Last year and in previous years with tornado disasters out in Oklahoma and Kansas and places, they've been out there bringing relief. And they don't just bring show up with supplies, relief supplies. They also bring the Word of God, and they try to reach and minister to people. But they know that first and foremost, when they go in, you know, the physical needs that people have, and they usually they'll connect up with a church in the area. And I remember they did that after Katrina went through and struck the Gulf Coast some years ago. They connect up with local churches in the area because their idea is that one, God's people should be helping God's people and helping through the local church whenever possible. And then also they're able to connect with somebody who has local ties, who knows what's going on in the area, who can help them find out who has the most need and where their efforts can best be placed. And so pray for them. And there's other ministries like that. I'm just familiar with the Nehemiah's Network out of Columbia Road Baptist Church. Like I said, you can either Google Columbia Road Baptist Church, North Olmsted, Ohio. We have them in there somewhere on our website. Of course, our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go on that, you can link to a variety of things, including our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al, and you can also find out about more about us and link to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And here's a link for the ministry there, columbiaroad.org. You can go there, columbiaroad.org, and that'll get you to the Columbia Road Baptist Church's website, and you can just go through their page, look for the disaster relief banner, and that'll take you over to their Nehemiah Network, and they help people struggling. And they also, through that, help churches that are trying to build. Maybe a church is just getting off the ground, and they might need chairs, they might need tables, they might need a pulpit, they might need a flag, they might need songbooks, and they're able to gather stuff together from other churches that no longer need those things and get them into the hands of them. So check that out, columbiaroad.org, and that's for the Columbia Road Baptist Church. Click on their disaster relief heading, and you can find out more about that. And in addition to that, a reminder that we are on Periscope right now. If you have a smartphone, you can log on. It's a free app. You can go to the Google Play Store. You can download the Periscope app. And on Periscope, I know we have somebody there right now. Hello. You can watch us on the program right now. I'm still using my smartphone here in the studio. We're hoping to expand that with a Chromebook where we can do a little bit more. We've had some good feedback from Periscope. I got this lovely red cord dangling from my headset right now, and it's actually got an inline microphone that's feeding it into my cell phone. So hopefully the people on Periscope can hear the callers, because that was when we first started out. You could hear me, but not the callers. And speaking of callers, if you've got a question, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we've got Tom calling in from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio tonight. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor. How are you?
Good evening. I am doing well. How are you tonight?
I'm praising the Lord for
Amen.
The day. It was beautiful.
And, oh, wasn't it?
And for your ministry. I love it. So.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, you know, I was talking to somebody I ran into, not somebody I know readily, but it's just, you know, I personally, they were devastated over the loss of their grandson who was died of drug overdose. This problem is getting epidemic with this heroin, you know.
Right. And for those outside of the Northeast Ohio area, a heroin epidemic here in Northeast Ohio, the Akron, Cleveland areas, is just spiraling out of control. The state attorney general, Mike DeWine, even recently had a thing where they were looking at the opioid addiction problem in Ohio in general. Northeast Ohio is one of the worst parts.
He was just on radio last week. I was listening to him talk.
Yeah, I think that was probably it. In fact, Akron, of course, Tom's calling from a town on the north side of Akron, Ohio. And in Akron, we just had earlier last month, remember, what was it, about 100 people overdoses, I think, in one weekend.
Oh, yeah,
weekend.
Well, they're saying over 300 deaths this year, I think, is what I heard.
From heroin. They're lacing the heroin with carfentanil, and it's killing people. Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, again, they've had a few hundred people just this year alone, and it's almost out of control. But I remember hearing the Attorney General, Mike DeWine, about a year or so ago. He was speaking to a group of pastors, and he said that the heroin distribution network in Ohio is so well-planned and so pervasive that you could literally, from any place in the state of Ohio, it doesn't matter if you're in the inner city, in the suburbs, or in the most rural part of the state, you could make a phone call if you know the right number, and within 15 minutes, you can have heroin delivered to your doorstep. They rival pizza delivery. And
it's amazing. But
it's,
you know,
amazing.
What? It's like something getting back. I think you said a week or two on your program a verse in Malachi about God would bring a famine in the land of his word.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Bible talks about that, a famine.
I kind of think in light of all the political situation today and everything else and just the way people are, I mean, you know, from when we grew up, it's like there's some drastic changes going on. But I don't know, the rudeness of people, the anxiety of people, it's just incredible anymore. And I just gotta believe America's almost a picture of this famine, you know, that's going on right now. And I think this is why a lot of our young people, they really don't have, maybe we're just not reaching them enough that, you know, with the Word of God, or I don't know what the problem is, Pastor, but we certainly got to pray about all this, huh?
Well, you're absolutely right, and it is a large part the problem. A lot of churches are not preaching the gospel as much as they're preaching self-help.
Right.
And the reality of the matter is, I mean, yeah, we need to do what we can, but ultimately we cannot help ourselves apart from God.
But we can't fix every situation, and we can't save people. All we can do is lead them to the truth. And you know what? It's the Lord, and he's sovereign over everything. He's the one that can fix lives, isn't he?
Yes, and see, that's the thing. You know, it's just like if somebody has cancer, you know, you can treat the symptoms, or you can treat the cancer. And
okay, well, listen, I'm going to get off, so good show. I'll be listening in. God bless you, and talk to you next week, maybe.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night, and thanks again. And again, just finishing out that thought, you know, with a cancer, you can treat the symptoms or you can treat the cancer. And now I understand that while you're treating the cancer, you want to treat the symptoms as well. I've had family members who have had cancer and passed away from cancer. But the fact of the matter is, if all you're doing is treating the symptoms, and unfortunately that's what happens with a lot of churches, we just treat the symptoms and we don't treat the cancer. And the cancer, of course, is the sin nature that we have. And Tom had brought up a passage. It was actually in Amos, Amos chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 11, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Now, what's interesting about this passage here is if we go over to Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and this is the last that Paul wrote, and in 2 Timothy, he wrote this shortly before being martyred for the cause of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes this. He says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom, preach the word." Now, remember there in Amos, he said there'd come day when there would be a famine of the preaching of the word of God. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." And then he said this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And in this passage here, Paul's writing, like I said, shortly before he's executed, martyred for the cause of Christ, and he warns there'd come a time, just like what Amos said, when there'd be a famine in the land, a famine of the word of God. And he said people would not want to hear the truth. They would not want to hear the word of God. They would turn away their ears from the truth, and they would turn instead unto fables. And he warned Timothy to be careful, to watch in all things, to endure afflictions, because he knew that not only Timothy and those that followed Timothy all the way down to today's age would have to fight this battle trying to stand for the word of God, trying to get the word of God out. It would come a time when people just simply don't want to hear it. I heard somebody say one time, the best way to make sure your church doesn't grow is to preach the word of God. And it used to be people said, if you want to make your church grow, preach the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But unfortunately today, as you preach the word of God, a lot of people don't want to hear it. They want to hear, you know, how to build their bank account. They want to hear how to have a better relationship with their cat. How to get their dog and cat to get along with each other, how to make sure your kids get into the best college. You know, that seems to be a lot of what they want to hear in church, and a lot of churches are willing to give them that. They don't want to hear strong doctrine or sound doctrine. They want things that tickle the ears. And that's a problem. We live in that day. Does that mean that we're supposed to abandon God's word? No, unfortunately, some churches have, and kids grow up in churches, and the church that's abandoned the word of God, and when they get older, they turn away from the church because, well, why shouldn't they? There's nothing there. They see the hypocrisy, they see the lack of truth, the lack of reason, the lack of intelligence in what goes in some of these churches, and they turn away from that. And does that mean that churches have no importance today? Absolutely not. I believe Paul was the human author of the book of of Hebrews. Some people would dispute that, but whether or not he was, it certainly communicates a truth here in the book of Hebrews that echoes what Paul is talking here about the importance of preaching the Word of God and the importance of the local church. You know, I come on the radio, and there's a lot of people who listen to me on the radio, and sometimes we have people who are shut in because of illness or recuperating from some things. We've had some contact with people who are listening because, you know, they were really going through recovery of some illness or accident or something like that, and they just can't get out to church, and so they're listening, and we're glad to be able to help people, encourage people, and help them grow in Christ, and help people find out about how Jesus died for our sins and see people come to salvation through that. That's great, but I'm not a church on the radio. I have a church that I pastor, you know, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to visit if you're ever in the area. But the thing of it is, when I'm on the radio, yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm trying to reach out as a fellow believer to encourage people. And it's not a substitute for gathering together with other believers in person. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. In verse number 23, it starts here, Hebrews 10, verse 23, we read, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, provoke there isn't in the sense of get somebody upset, but to get them motivated, to motivate somebody, provoke them unto love and to good works. And then he says in verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." The day he's talking about is the return of Christ. And as we get closer to the return of Christ, we see that day approaching. And it's more important than ever for us to encourage one another and to exhort one another to get together with fellow believers in person. I mean, I'm glad that you're listening to me on the radio. I'm glad that you're watching on Periscope. I'm glad that you follow us on Facebook and things like that. And that's good. But it is not a replacement for the local church. Unlike some, I remember hearing somebody on the radio years ago. He was complaining that people didn't have him into his church to preach or to hold seminars or anything like that. And the reason was because when he came on the radio, he would say, "Hey, if you're listening to me on the radio and you're being blessed, then you owe your tithe to me." Well, that's nonsense. If you tithe, it doesn't go to me, it goes to your local church. The tithe is supposed to support your local church. Now, you can give offerings over and above the tithe, and sometimes somebody does send us something, but your tithe belongs to your local church. If you're not taking care of your local church financially, you have no business sending money off to somebody on the radio, myself included. And so you need to be taking care of your local church. A local church is important. I'm the pastor of a local church, and I believe that that's the organization that God uses, and we're to encourage one another, exhort one another to be a part of, to join together in the local church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what we're supposed to be doing, assembling with fellow believers so that we can encourage, provoke one another to love and to good works. We encourage one another to love one another and to share the love of God with those around us and to do the good works. That's what we're saved to do. We weren't saved by good works, but we do good works because we're saved, and we glorify God as we do them. And so as a consequence, the local church is of extreme importance. And the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more important it is. And so let me encourage you, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." Now, if you're giving to your local church and you're putting the time into your local church and you have time to listen to me, then I'm all for it. You're praying for your pastor and you're praying for your local church, and then you have time to pray for me and our ministry here on the radio. I'm all for that. But like I said, your local church and your local church comes first. You know, if you're listening in North Carolina and you have to go to the hospital, or something happens one of your family members and they get taken into the hospital, you know, I'm not your local pastor. I can't go in there to join you as you're in the emergency room, or join you as you're waiting for a surgery to take place. That local church, that's where you're going to find the pastor or the deacon or somebody in that local church that's going to be able to come to that hospital room and pray with you. You get some of these guys on the radio, and they're glad to take your money. Some of these guys on TV, they're glad to take your money. But I'll guarantee if you call and say, you know, I've been supporting your ministry all these years, I need you to come to the hospital, it's an emergency, they're probably not going to come unless they live next door. And even then, who knows? But that's what the local church is for. You know, people talk about having support groups and therapy groups and all these things. You know what? The local church ought to be your support group. The local church ought to be your therapy group. I watch people after church, and we're just a small church. You know, I say somewhat jokingly, but it is true, I think. We're probably the smallest church on the radio that has a radio ministry like this, but I enjoy watching after church when people in the church get together after church and they share needs with each other and they pray for each other, and I can see that they're ministering to each other and helping each other and encouraging one another. That's a tremendous thing. And even if they only come once a week, they can still come together, or even if they can only come every other week or something like that. And they come and they find people who are willing to pray with them. People are willing to listen to them as they share some of the difficulties that they're going through. And it's not always with me that they're talking to. It's somebody else. Might be my wife. Might be somebody else in the church. But it's just a joy after church service to watch people sitting around, standing around for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour after the church service is over, just simply sharing the love of God with each other, ministering to each other, listening to each other, and praying for each other. That to me as a pastor, you know, that just thrills me to be able to see people who are willing to help and encourage one another. And like Hebrews chapter 10 says in verse 24, to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Well, we enjoyed doing the radio program, and we're going to be taking a break here in just a minute or so. And we'll be on until midnight here tonight. And I want to give you those phone numbers here. The phone number, of course, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, let me encourage you to give us a call. You can call in even before the break is over, and we'll get you in the queue and ready for the second half. And if you're able to check us out online, remember, Live with Pastor Al. livewithpastoral.com. You can also find our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, and you can even go to Periscope if you have a smartphone, and we've had some people with us on Periscope tonight, and you can check us out there and follow us. If you're not familiar with Periscope, check it out during the break, and you can see what it is. You can actually see me. I don't know if you want to do that or not, but we're there. And we want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, and we'd love to hear from you. And stay tuned for the second half of the program.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. All right, welcome back. We were a little slow on getting the mic started, I think, there, but we're okay. We were having some technical glitches during the break there, but I'm glad you stuck with us on Periscope for whatever reason. As I'm using my smartphone, and my smartphone every once in a while has its own mind, and it stopped being responsive to the screen. So we were trying to get that sorted out during the break, and got us all kind of discombobulated here. But welcome to the program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here this evening with your question about the Bible, as I said, or current events in light of God's Word. Also, want to mention that we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can contact them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And you can call them for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. And also, you may be out of the Northeast Ohio area. You may be listening down in Florida or North Carolina or somewhere in between. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, if you have a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza recipe to add to your restaurant, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and I guarantee it, I've eaten a number of his pizzas. They're great. So, all right, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and they're also linked at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're getting back into the program tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. We're talking about a variety of things here. There's something that I was going to touch on this evening, haven't quite got to yet, and this would probably be a good time to bring this up as well. We talk about a variety of things on the program, and of course, one of the themes that we have is you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. Some people think that if you believe the Bible, you stop thinking. And, well, let me tell you, there's a lot of people who stop thinking in a lot of areas, and it's not just people who are religious. People involved in science stop thinking. I don't know. I went to school. I got a biology degree myself, so I know a little bit about science, but and I like to touch on some science things myself, and I was looking at something that, was in the news here just recently, and it's a new... I can't quite call it a planet. It's not a planet or a planetoid. It's a chunk of ice and rock and something. They're not really 100% sure what it is right now. The technical term is a trans-Neptunian object. And trans-Neptunian object means that it's beyond the orbit of Neptune, which is the last planet going out from the sun that we currently recognize as a planet. Say, oh, wait a minute. When I was a kid, I learned that we had 9 planets and that Neptune was number 8 and number 9 is Pluto. Well, Pluto, if you haven't been up on news and astronomy not too awfully long ago, Pluto was demoted from its planetary status to a trans-Neptunian object. They consider it too small to be a planet, and its moon Charon isn't a whole lot smaller than Pluto. And I remember correctly, Pluto I don't think is the size of our moon even. So it's pretty small. So they demoted it from planetary status, and they have been studying some of these trans-Neptunian objects out beyond Pluto even, and they found this one that really made for some interesting news here, and it hit about the middle of August, a lot of the news cycles, and they're saying that this object that is out there, it's about, looking at it through a telescope, it's about 160,000 times fainter than Neptune. And they believe, they're not sure, but they believe that it may be less than 200 kilometers in diameter. But there's a couple of things that are really, really unusual about this planet. And astronomers right now are scrambling, trying to explain what's happening with this planet, because there's no known method from physical science or from astronomy or anything that would explain this object. They've tentatively called it Nikku. Now, before anybody says, "Oh, Nibiru, aren't you talking about Nibiru, the infamous Planet X that's streaking in from the outer reaches of space, ready to destroy life on Earth?" Well, first off, Nibiru is a different concept entirely. In Nibiru, about every year, somebody says it's on its way, and of course, NASA's denying that it's there. And Nibiru varies from being a comet to a planet to a gas giant to a small brown dwarf star. You name it. Nibiru has been described that. I've been reading about Nibiru since at least the 1990s, and every time I read about it, it's just about ready to come in and smash into the Earth or destroy the moon or cause your toenails to curl or something. I mean, every couple of years that Nibiru's story circulates and people go in a panic over this. Well, this is not Nibiru. This is called Nikku, N-I-K-U, Nikku, and it's a Chinese adjective for rebellious. And they call it this because it's doing two really weird things. Now, I'm not an astronomer. My degree's in biology, not astronomy, but this is interesting. I believe that God put fingerprints on his creation. I believe that God created and set certain things into motion that could indicate that God exists and call our attention to him. And there's Bible precedent for that. In Psalm 19, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And that's a perfect example, this Nikku, because Nikku orbits about 110 degrees above the plane of the solar system. Now, that's important because most of the planets, if the Big Bang theory is correct, and not all astronomers are 100% sold on some of this, and it's their idea that the solar system and the sun, sun and all the planets, coalesced out of a gas cloud, and as it began spinning and these different things came together, a bunch of dust and everything came together and formed the sun, reached a certain size, and it ignited and it started burning. Some formed the various planets, including our Earth. And the thing with that, with the law of conservation of angular momentum, as it's spinning, as things begin to coagulate in that, they should spin all in the same direction. And they should spin along the same general plane. A little variation here and there, but not much. Well, Nikku orbits right now about 110 degrees above the plane of the solar system. That's pretty far. It's going way up above it, and they can't explain that part of it. Some people suggest, well, maybe it's something that came in from elsewhere in outer space and got captured by our sun. And the other thing, if that were the case, it should have been pulled because of gravitation and stuff into the general plane of the rest of the things in our solar system. The other thing is it rotates around the sun backwards. Backwards meaning that all the other planets go in the same direction. And this one goes backwards. Now, when I first heard about it, I thought it was the only one, but I guess there are a couple of other smaller objects that they've detected out in the same region that they believe are orbiting the sun backwards. Now, there's no means of this happening. You would think, well, maybe it's like marbles. If I shot a marble at another marble, I can cause it to go in the opposite direction. Well, in order for something this big to have its direction reversed, it would have to be hit by something also quite large, and a lot of energy would be used in that. It would disintegrate both of them. And some people try to say, well, maybe it was a larger object hit by another large object, and it split off, and it got thrown backwards. Well, here's the problem with that. If you've ever been canoeing, you can see the problem with that right away. When you are canoeing and you put your oar in the water and you pull it, you'll see these little whirlpools that'll form sometimes around your paddle. Well, they don't suddenly go upstream. They follow the canoe downstream, even though they may go back from you a ways, but they still follow you in that general direction. So relative to the sun, they're still going to be going around the sun. There's all kinds of things like that this Nikku is being rebellious, and it's thrown the astronomers into a quandary. They can't explain it with current understanding of physical laws and astronomy and the solar system. It cannot be explained. I think it's there because God said in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Here's something here that cries out that there's somebody out there, a designer, that created. And really it comes down to one of two choices. We talked about this before. Either a non-existent something with infinite potential produced everything that exists, or a self-existent someone with infinite power produced everything that exists. We touch on some of those things maybe again at another point, but we've got Nancy calling in, and we're going to get Nancy on the phone. Remember, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome. And I really appreciated Tom's call earlier in the day. He seems like a true man of God and very knowledgeable, on scriptures as well as yourself. And I just really appreciate, the way you answer questions. And no matter, even if we ask questions that sound a little bit naive or, maybe we should know it, you never make any of us feel dumb. I just want to say that, and I just really appreciate that. Now, my question, I'm looking forward to your anniversary Sunday. I think it's September 17th?
Oh, yeah, it's 2 weeks from today. And let me interject that, Nancy. If people are in the area, we'd love to invite you to come visit our church. Our church anniversary service is going to be, like you said, that's September 16th, I believe you said. Is that the right? I don't have a calendar in front
sure.
of me.
I'm not sure. 16th or 17th.
What is Sunday? Two weeks from today. We'll find that out.
I think you celebrate it.
Yeah, but it's 2 weeks from today. And I'm not asking people to miss their church service. But if you want to come after your church service, we have a potluck dinner at our church it's the 18th. That's the day. It's September 18th.
Okay.
And but we have a potluck dinner following our morning service at 1 o'clock. And then we have Eric Howitt, and I know you've heard him. He's a very talented, very godly gospel soloist, and he will be singing for us at 2 o'clock. And even if you don't want to come for the dinner, you can come for the music at 2 o'clock, and that's at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. Right exactly where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. In fact, you can look out of the room that we meet in, and you can see the toll booths for the Ohio Turnpike right there. So that's Sunday, September 18th. And like I said, at 1 o'clock we have our potluck dinner, and at 2 o'clock Eric Howitt is going to be singing. Or a few minutes after, of course, if we're eating longer. And then we'll have fellowship after that and plenty of leftovers as well, I'm sure. So, but and certainly invite people to come to that. But I know that wasn't quite your call, but I appreciate you bringing that up.
I just wanted to emphasize that I have attended that for the last 3 years, and it's just a real blessing. People just don't know what they're missing. Now, my question tonight is about Proverbs 6.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 6.
And then verses 6, 9, and 10.
All right.
And they're exhorting you to, in Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And then skipping over to verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, what my question is, all of the, health manuals or a nursing school, I went to nursing school, and what you read and what you hear, they exhort you to get enough sleep, like if you can possibly get 8 hours on a regular basis. But here, it's almost like they're implying that it's more preferable and even more godly to have a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. If you could explain that to me,
Sure.
It bothered me a little bit. Thank you.
Yeah, the idea here is, it's not the idea of not getting sufficient sleep, and I'll be the first to admit, I do not get 8 hours of sleep at a given time. In fact, if I sleep for 8 hours, I wake up feeling achy and tired myself. I mean, they do say that most people need on average 8 hours, and some people need a little more, some people need a little less. But oftentimes, people, don't want to get up. They don't want to get moving. You know, I'm not a morning person. That's one of the reasons we're doing late night live with Pastor Al rather than early morning with
either.
Pastor Al. If this was early morning with Pastor Al, you'd be hearing, welcome to the program. I have to get a mainline coffee drip going, I think.
You and I both.
I get my wife. My wife's an RN. I'd set her up here with an IV bag dripping in coffee. And unfortunately, though, caffeine tends to make me sleepy. I don't know why sometimes.
Oh,
but,
really?
Mm-hmm. But, I'll drink a cup of coffee and then go right to sleep at night. But, go to the ant, he says here, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. And it's interesting. It says her ways. How'd they know that all the ants that you see running around pretty much are female ants? And that's what it is.
Well, I think because the females are more ambitious, I think.
Yeah. Well, what it is all the males, the males aren't being produced except at one time, and that's only to produce drones that go out when it's time for the new queens to hatch so that they can fly up. If you've ever seen where you get the winged ants that come up in droves, and then the males are there so that they can propagate the species, and then they die. And but mm-hmm. most of the rest of the time, all the ants you see are female ants. That's all they are. And same thing with bees. They're all females. And so it's interesting that the Bible scientifically accurate here. How'd they know that? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise.
Mm-hmm.
And, which
mm-hmm.
having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat. There it is again, her meat in the summer, and gather mm-hmm. her food in the harvest. Very clear that they're talking mm-hmm. about ants as female.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. what you see. And you watch ants, and they're extremely busy, aren't they? We use the expression busy as a bee, but ants are mm-hmm. extremely busy. When I was growing up, mm-hmm. we used to, you know, we had a small farm, and we used to go out in the barnyard, out in the pasture, and we find ant hills. And, you know, ants are just incredible to watch. They're so busy,
mm-hmm.
and they're always mm-hmm. moving around. And if mm-hmm. If you were to step on an ant hill, you'll see them come swarming out, and they'll immediately start rebuilding things. They're always mm-hmm. traveling. They're always looking. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, you know, you would think that the centipedes and the rats and things like that would have been more of a problem, but it was the ants. Because the ants mm-hmm. were incessant. They were constant. They day and night, mm-hmm. you're sitting there mm-hmm. reading, and you see something go across your glasses, and it's an ant. You know, there's just so mm-hmm. many. But here's the thing. Always busy, always industrious. Now, here mm-hmm. comes the next part. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that prevaileth, and thy want as an armed man. This isn't saying that you shouldn't sleep. This is a caution against being a lazy person that would rather spend all day in bed rather than working. You know, we need mm-hmm, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to be industrious when we get up. We need to be busy. We have mm-hmm. things to do. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we can all at times be prone to be a little on the lazy side. I know that I can certainly be mm-hmm. prone. If my mom was alive, she could certainly tell you that probably. But but you know, I mean, we need to remember that though sleep is necessary, a little sleep, a little sleep. If we spend too much time sleeping, we're not going to get the things done that we need to get done. Now, we mm-hmm. can afford to be night owls today because we have electric lights. We have all this stuff that it make it possible for us to be productive long after the sun has set. But back in mm-hmm. this day, they were dependent on oil lamps and different types of things to provide light for them when the mm-hmm. sun went down. And, you know, it was hard sometimes to be productive when the sun went down. So your most productive times when was the sun came up and provided light until it went down, it got too dark to see. And so mm-hmm. if you were somebody who just slept all morning and didn't get up until noon, half the day that you could work was gone. And it would be hard to get out into the fields if you were a farmer. It would be hard to be mm-hmm. engaged at your trade if you were some kind of a tradesperson. You did, and then if you said, well, I'll just light a lantern, burn some oil lamps. Well, you had to pay for the oil. See, sunlight was cheap. You didn't have mm-hmm. to pay for that, mm-hmm. but you had to pay for the oil, and it wasn't as easy to see sometimes, and it could get smoky.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't do as much, you weren't as productive, and you weren't as prosperous because you tended to spend your morning in bed sleeping while the daylight was burning, and you didn't get mm-hmm. things done. But the whole point that we would take away for this today, because like I said, with electric lights and things like that, we can overcome the darkness. But if you're spending most of your life sleeping, you're not going to be able to do the things that you need to provide for your family, and to be able to do the Lord's work. Sleep is necessary, and sleep can be very enjoyable. I mean, I don't like getting up in the morning. Like I said, I'm not a morning person. When I get up on Sunday morning, I have to remind myself, I have to get up. I have to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the pastor,
mm-hmm.
so I have to mm-hmm. be there. But but that's the thing. You know, sleep is necessary, but too much of a good thing. There's another passage in the Proverbs where he reminds him about if you found some honey, you know, have a little, but not so much that you get sick. I know mm-hmm. that's the Pastor mm-hmm. Al paraphrase there, but that's the point. A little is good, but too much can overdo it. And mm-hmm. and with sleep, you know, rather than spending all our time sleeping in and just enjoying the luxury of sleeping in all the time, he's saying, look to the ant. They're industrious. That's how they're able to do so much. That's little thing like that. They don't have a king. They don't have governors. They don't have overseers. And yet they provide their meat in the summer. They gather their food in the harvest. Nobody has to tell it because all the individual ants are industrious and they're committed to the work that they're doing. And yet we need people to get us going. Anybody that's raised teenagers knows that, right? You got to continually get them moving. And otherwise they don't want to. And so we need that prodding sometimes. But so it's not a warning against sleeping. It's a warning against being a sluggard, being lazy, not doing anything. Okay. Instead, we should be industrious. The ant is a great example for it. Doesn't need to be prodded. It's up, it's going, it's doing, and it's providing. And we need to be trying to do that. We can learn a lot from an ant, can't we?
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Pastor. You explained it extremely well.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, I want to thank you for calling tonight, Nancy. We're about out of time here. I want to thank all of those who've been listening tonight. Thank you for those on Periscope. Join us again next week. We're out of time tonight. Thanks. God bless and have a great week. Have a great Labor Day. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor